Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello, and my name is Lucy Kiden, and today at this time we're having the Democracy in Action program, and today's episode will focus on the role of civil society in peace building in South Sudan. The big question is, what role can the civil society play in peace building in the country? And so joining me to discuss all these and many more are two guests. We have Joseph Gatkwoth Kutay, and he can tell us briefly what he does. Joseph, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Joseph Gatkwoth Kutay. I'm a regional program manager for USAID Church of Islam. It is a peace building organizations that have deeply rooted into the local communities.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. And then we have Nyamat Mai, who is a SUD Institute researcher, Future Savers Network founder as well, and also the founder and brains behind the Inspirational Conversations. You're welcome, Nyamat.
Thank you, Lucy, for having me in the studio.
Thank you very much, both of you, for coming and making the time. And so before we delve into the program, you will have an opportunity later on to speak, to add your voice to what is being discussed, also to ask a question or seek some clarity. The numbers, if you can note them down now, are 0912-067879, 0912-067929, and 0912-068101. For the text messaging line, you can text as soon as we start talking, and the number is 0912-177-141. So, as we get into the discussion now, let's understand the key words here. So, we have civil society, and then we have peace building. So, first off, let's understand, what is peace building, Nyamat?
Yeah, thank you, Kiden, for this wonderful question. Peace building, you know, we have heard about it, and it's something that all of us are looking for. Peace building, it's actually long-term interventions to instill social transformation, relationship between communities, and it goes through all the boundaries, racial, religious, regional, national boundaries, and within the ethnic group. So it's a long-term efforts to keep peace in a society.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for explaining that. And now, Mr. Joseph, could you maybe talk about civil society? Who is or who comprises of civil society, and why is it important to have civil society in a democratic setting?
Yeah, thank you so much, Glenn. This is good questions. Civil societies are non-profit, non-political. They are actually voluntary, formal and informal organizations that's drawn from the nationals, the community, religious leaders, and church base. And it go beyond, you know, even the civil society, even the citizens themselves, they are part of civil society.
All right, they're all civilians.
Civil societies.
All right, thank you for stating that. Now, how different from other concepts such as peacekeeping and peacemaking when we talk about peace building?
Yes, we use these words synonymously, but they have different meanings. We know there's peacekeeping. We heard of that. We heard of peace making. So basically, you know, in a normal setting, when you're making something, it's different from keeping it. So peacekeeping basically is a temporary or a short-term intervention during or after conflicts or after cessation of hostility, and it's actually used to by deployment of maybe military to calm the situation, or even civilian, involves civilian protection and deployment of military agents. Like, for example, we have the UN peacekeeping mission, and whenever there is an outbreak of conflict, you'll see that they have a specific place for the civilian to go, and it's called civilian protection site, or POC, and then they are deployed around to monitor the situation of the cessation of hostility. So it's basically a short-term temporary intervention. When we come to peacemaking, we can say it's more than the peacekeeping itself.
Yeah.
It's also happened during or after the conflict. And this one involves more of dialogue, negotiations, there will be mediation, and people are looking for solution to resolve the conflict, in which most of the time peacemaking process results into peace agreements, settlements of conflict resolutions, like we have seen in 2013, that was 2015, 2018, all those ones are peacemaking processes. So it has, the main aspect is negotiation. There must be negotiations, there must be mediations. We have mediators that have to bring the warring parties or groups around, and then we have judicial settlements sometimes. So all these strategies are actually active strategies to restore peace after conflicts.
Thank you. And they all seem to, I mean, when you say them, they seem like they might mean the same thing. But thank you for differentiating the three different concepts: peace building, peacekeeping, and peacemaking. Now, Joseph, what are the peace building challenges in the country? First of all, what is the situation? Why is there even need for peace building?
Thank you, Kren. There are enormous challenges facing the peace building in South Sudan. If you look at the community setup, the ethnic divisions, the tribal structures within the country, coming to relationships among themselves, you see cattle raiding going around. You see even there are poor infrastructure, lack of basic services to the community. You find youth themselves are in the front lines of, you know, fueling the conflicts in the community. There is no actually enabling environment where peaceful and peace building is actually effective in the community. There are, if you look at this community setting, the poor infrastructure, lawlessness, corruptions, you know, limited economic opportunities for youth. So you can go as long as this as it's concerned.
Okay. And now when it comes to civil society, we did define civil society earlier, non-political, non-profit, there's informal, informal. And so when it comes to civil society, what is the role in regards to peace building, you know, promoting peace and reconciliation in these spaces that have conflicts, especially at the grassroots level? How does civil society come in?
Yeah, thank you so much. Civil society has played a significant role in trying to build social cohesion and harmony in the community at the grassroots level. If you look, the civil society have played a critical role by bringing the communities, conflicting communities together to dialogue, reconcile, and accept each other. Because there is these issues of building trust among themselves in the community has become a quite challenges, and the civil society as a go between the communities, the government, and the organizations, they tends to be a mediators, play habitation roles, where bringing communities to dialogues and accept each other. They should also recognize the role that each community play in terms of building peace. And then peace go beyond absence of violence. Peace go beyond, it's dealing with post-conflict reconstructions and everything.
Okay.
And you look at the role civil society play, they are positives in terms of shaping the mindset of the community by advocating advocacy roles in terms of playing roles to make sure the citizens of South Sudanese are also heard and the interests of the citizens are really incorporated in terms of legislation-making process, in terms of making the voice heard, in be it on legislations, constitutional-making process,
yeah.
Where all those needs and challenges facing the grassroots are also heard at the top level. Because if you look at the bottom-down approach and the bottom-up approach are literally quite challenging. You may see there's elites, powerful elites on the national level
mm-hmm.
that making it difficult for positive effects to trickle down to the community level. Until, you know, the tops are reconciled, then it will be very easy for the local at the grassroots level to reconcile themselves. Because you see there's manipulations in that process.
Okay.
Where the elites tend to manipulatives of the grassroots
initiatives. Yeah, yeah.
So until there is a reconciliation on the top, that's where we can actually have sustainable peace at the grassroots level.
All right. Thank you very much for explaining that. And from how you've explained it, I can already see that it's a bit complex. It's not easy. Because you had mentioned some challenges earlier that affect peace building. You talked about infrastructure. You talked about, of course, the conflict itself. And if civil society has to go down to the grassroots, these are some of the things they have to overcome. And so coming to you, Nyamath, have you had experiences, have you heard of them as well, where civil society is, you know, working towards peace building, but they're facing numerous challenges? Maybe you can share some of the examples.
Thank you so much. As we speak about the challenges that are facing the civil society organizations, the challenges are numerous, and one of them that is facing the civil society is actually protection to the civil society members who are advocating for peace. You know, when you go to such areas, like I was in Bor in December, and the situation sometimes, like for those, you know, this tribal and ethnic division are actually making it hard for civil society organization or members. Maybe you're someone from Equatoria and you work with a civil society organization, you are the peace ambassador, and you are sent somewhere to do in Nuerland or Dinkaland mm-hmm. where they don't know, or where there are a lot of issues to do with, you know, this the segregation and all this. So it becomes very hard for you actually to execute what you are sent to do,
yeah.
Even though we know there's a lot of Equatorian in Nuerland, there are Nuer in the other land. And then we have actually cultural practices that are part of, you know, the challenges that are facing the civil society organization.
Yeah.
Then we have the civic space.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Our civic space is limited. There are some intimidations, and our people are not accustomed to that. They see when you're a civil society, even the government see the civil society organization as an opposition at some point. But so in the reality, they are civil, from the word civil, these are just civilians that are trying to advocate for the right of others and also help the government. They're actually an upper hand to the government, actually, because when we lobby for policies, legislations, and all this. Once those legislations are actually done and they're formulated, then the benefits is to the government itself. So the civic space is really not that free.
Could you explain it a little more, the civic space? What exactly does it mean? And how would the ideal environment for a proper functioning of the civil society look like?
Yes, well, when we talk of a space, you know, like in this room, we have a small space. So if we are to do a bigger things in this room, we might not. If you are told to run, or maybe run like how many meters, you're not going to run it in this room.
So have to go round and round and
yes,
round.
Yes.
And then fall dizzy.
Yes, so when we say the civic space is very slow, we have seen sometimes that there were some regulations that if you want to hold something, then you have to get clearance from the security apparatus, and sometimes you are denied. And now, with the conflict that we are having, it becomes very hard even to bring people together, because any gathering, it's considered that it can escalate other issues. So this one makes the space really, really so small for the civil society, or for the advocates, for the lobbyists, you know. And there is sometimes no will from our leadership to support such a group. So that one makes it, and then intimidation sometimes, you know, you're stopped from doing what is supposed to be done.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Nyamach. Is there anything you'd like to add, Joseph?
Yeah, thank you so much, Kiden. My colleague Nyamach has brought up a very interesting point about the lack of civic participation, political, and, you know, there is shrinking civic space in South Sudan, where civil society actors have no informal official space where they can express their grievances, be it where they can organize conferences, where communities have rights to interactions and questions their leaderships, because the role of civil society is to advocate for change, policy making, and it's also a voice of voiceless. Someone down in the village have no way to reach their representative in the national government and the states. So civil society feel that void to advocate on their behalf. And if we look at this shrinking civic space, you would see there's harassment, intimidation among the civil society actors to actually hold government accountable. Question to do with transparency and accountability, which is really a bottleneck that, you know, scaling down the building the sustainable peace process and having institutions that are accountable to the community. You know, this is a kind of a social contract where the community and the government sit down, where government also know their role and responsibility, and the citizens and respect the right, the human right of the citizen.
Okay. So advocating for change is definitely not easy. In your experience, Nyamach, how is it there's the side of the civil society actors and the government, but what about the civil society actors and the people, the locals, the chiefs? We're talking about grassroots here. Well, how has that experience been like? You spoke about culture a little bit. Could you expound more on that?
Yes, as much as there are challenges within maybe the government, but we also have a lot of challenges dealing with the grassroots. One of them, I say, the cultural differences. If someone from a different background is sent to a place, it will definitely be very hard to actually take the peace messages that you are. And then we have one of the challenges down there in the grassroots is actually these long-term grievances between communities and ethnic groups. Like, you see, like in Jonglei State, we have long-term issues of cattle raiding, child abduction, and all this. So such activities until now, the government is trying, the civil societies are there, but it's still so such grievances. Like someone from Bor is saying her child was abducted. When I went in Bor, actually, the one who was driving me around Bor town was a guy from Denkabor who was abducted by the Morley group when he was just 12 years old, and he was brought back after he was reunited with his family after something to do with 15 years.
Wow.
So you can imagine the bitterness that this boy has, the trauma, and you could see all his bodies just having the marks. Like, literally, when you see him, he's actually a Morley more than a Dinkabor. So such a person has a lot of grievances, and these people with grievances, they actually escalate more conflict and make it very hard for the civil society actors actually to come in, because they are deeply, and they have to be solved from the deep roots of the whole thing. So we have language barriers, by the way, sometimes we overlook, you know, because if I don't speak Bari and I'm sent to go and solve some issues or serve within Barry community, where there's difference between Barry and Mundari. You know, they're always having issues. Yes. And I don't speak. Those people, they know very little Arabic. They don't know any other language. So it will be very hard for me to actually intervene in such a situation. And then infrastructure was said by my brother that some places are deeply cut off from anything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot access them. You cannot access them because of climate change. We have some issues like natural disasters. We have flooding, and there are people who are really cut off that cannot be found in those positions. So this one makes it very hard actually for civil society actors to deliver their services to such places.
Wow. And Joseph, what would be the workable solutions? What are those things that can make the work of civil society actors easier as they continue to strive for change in the society?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I would like also to add some few points on the remark that my colleague has just mentioned earlier.
Yes.
About the challenges that civil society faces at the grassroots level.
Yes.
If you look, language barrier and also community expectations, the civil society may have their priorities, may have priorities that are not aligned with the local community. For example, the cultural barriers has become a major issue where, you know, for example, advocating for the woman in inclusivity to do with woman inclusion in decision-making process.
Yes.
And participations.
Yes.
You know, in some cultural setup, you find women are not allowed to speak even in front of men.
Mm-hmm.
And being playing critical advocacy role as civil society, going deep to the village and telling them, look, you have also the same equal right with women. Give them opportunity to speak their mind and express their grievances in front of you.
Yeah.
Coming to the question, there are ways civil society can really make work easy at a grassroots level.
Yes.
Understanding the dynamic and the local context. Where, you know, without understanding the local context, and there should be context specifics where...
So in this case, should they do like a research or an assessment?
Yes.
Okay.
They should actually do an assessment to understand the local conflict dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Because without understanding what the community actually wanted, you may end up also peeling the conflict itself.
Okay.
So there is need to come up with a strategy to align the community needs and priority with the civil society need.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for stating that. Nyamash, would you like to add in terms of the solutions, what can make it easier for civil society actors to do their work?
Well, there are a lot of solutions that could be at disposal. Like one of the challenges that didn't come out clearly from both of us earlier, it's the funding issues. We have inadequate funding or no funding at all. And one of the easiest things is actually to make funding available to civil society actors so that they're able to access their inaccessible areas. They need protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need enabling environment where they can execute their task. And so wherever they are, if it's in the grassroots, you know, they have to be also kind of protection to civil society actors within the communities.
Okay.
And then within the civil society themselves, like you have an organization, you need to know, as he mentioned, the dynamics of the local setup. And we have to send people who are from the same place.
If possible.
Yeah, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
To actually address the issue of language barriers and cultural barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, you bring a Khawaja and then take that person to a Muslim setup and they go with their bikinis and there people are actually covered from head to toes. Just imagine that situation, that such a person will not even be welcome. They may end up being stoned or everybody will run away from them. So even if you're coming with a good message, when you're culturally are not aligning with the local communities,
yes,
then definitely your efforts are going to be less. So we need to align. We need to see if Kiden is from that area and she can do better than the other person and she knows the culture better, then we send people who actually know the norms and the traditions of such places.
Takes me back to what you said earlier about ensuring that you understand the context. Because, again, we may know the language sometimes, but you've actually never been there physically.
Exactly.
I've had those experiences as well. Right, if you're listening, if you've just tuned in, actually, my name is Lucy Kiden. This is Democracy in Action. Our focus today is the role for civil society in peace building in South Sudan. My guests are Joseph Gatkoth Kutay. Then we also have Nyamach Mai. They're both civil society actors. And so right now we're going for a short break. After the break, you will have the opportunity to call in and ask questions or add a comment on what we have already discussed. We've looked at what exactly peace building is. We've looked at the difference between other concepts such as peacemaking and peacekeeping. We've also understood some of the challenges, the main challenges that face peace building processes in South Sudan and the role of civil society to promote peace reconciliation in the country. And so, yes, let's go for the break and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Radio Miraya.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
I'm James Opinyi Clement. I'm a resident of Tori Town. Yeah, my message to both party, the IO and the government, we need their commitment. We need their commitment to implement the peace in letter and spirit because we are tired. We need the peace now because it has taken long. We are yearning for it. So we are not dreaming whether it will come tomorrow. We need it now. We are tired. This peace, government alone cannot implement it. IO alone cannot implement it. It needs all of us. The citizens of South Sudan who are suffering now, it is a collective responsibility for all of us to implement this peace because we are tired. Even me talking now, my family are not with me. They are outside the country and they are suffering. They are waiting for peace to come so that they come home, so that we'll be together. I join my family.
South Sudan, a new dawn, a new beginning. Let's celebrate the peace.
Alaikum salam.
You're listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Welcome back. This is Democracy in Action with me, Lucy Kiden. And my guests are Joseph Gatkoth and Nyamach Mai. And these are civil society actors as we talk about the role of civil society in peace building in South Sudan. Now, if you've been listening and you would like to ask a question or share a comment, this is the time to call in. You can call on these numbers 0912-067879, 0912-067929, and 0912-068101. We have a caller on the line. Radio Miraya, hello.
Good morning, Lucy Kiden and our guest.
Yes, good morning.
This is Jacob Dior from Yero Lady State.
Yes, Jacob, you're very welcome. What is your question or comment?
Thank you so much. You know, Democracy in Action has been giving us more highlights on what to be done by different actors. Today, you have brought the activists. You know, I've been monitoring many of the activists and I'm friends. We are friends on Facebook. Most of the activists, they campaign, but when it comes to hardcore, when it hits your bone, say you have a problem in your community with other community members, some activists don't go for what they have been doing. They take side. Our artists, for example, are part of the campaign of the of the Democracy in Action. What they do should be comprehensive, should be for all. But if you look into some of the activists, I remember one which I don't want to mention. This guy has taken side now in the conflict going on in the country. He's inciting his, the community through his posts, through his audio. And if I look at it, it should be discarded by some of the actors. So I would like to know from them, if they spot anything of this kind, do they come as activists together? Is there any forum where they come together and say, no, guys, we are taking a different path. Can we do this for the betterment of South Sudan? This is what I would like to know from them.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jacob. Yes, you're welcome to call in and also text in, because we have the text messaging line 0912177141. There's a text message that I'm going to read right now, and this is coming in from Andrea Camilo in Pagao area, who says, we have more civil society, and each civil society usually advocates for their own benefits. When will civil society speak for the community? That is his question. All right. And then here we have Tapdu Tap in Bentiu saying, why is most of the civil society silent in some states in South Sudan? They cannot even talk about the rights of their citizens in their states. So the so far we have two specific questions, and we could actually start with that one from Tap Dew, asking about why some civil society actors remain silent when it comes to certain states, and they're not speaking for all communities. I don't know, Joseph Nyamach, who would like to take that? Joseph, go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much, Tap Dio. This is interesting questions. When you look at the situations in our country, you really understand the severity of the conflict itself in our country. When there is no enabling environment, civil society are human, so we are not perfectionists. There could be mistakes there and there, and that is, doesn't mean civil society are not doing their best.
Yeah.
So when it comes to labeling environment, this is where civil society get it really difficult tasks. You know, for you to speak on issues affecting the community, you put your lives on the line, and that is a benefit of the community. But if there is no labeling environment, you see civil society are being threatened, harassed, and lawful detentions, and even some events and activities are being censored. There is serious censorship going on.
Yeah.
You cannot get the platform where you can also speak, if because they have been restricted.
Yeah.
So you don't get platform, Facebook's being one of them, and social media,
mm-hmm.
and go down to the village, the community down in the village have no access to Facebook, even if you express the grievances that are affecting the issues in the communities, and he tries to put them across, the dissemination message will not reach them as quick.
You'll be shocked. These you'll days, people have Starlink.
Yes. Yeah.
Deep in the communities, and they are sending videos, you know? And yeah, thank you for explaining that. Tap, I hope your question is answered, and maybe Yamach could touch a little bit on that, and then head on to Jacob Bior's a question about what happens when one, do you have like an association, do you have like a union, where if certain civil society members take sides, does that get addressed?
Well, thank you. Let me shed light again on the questions that was asked by Tap. You know, silence sometimes is the best weapon in some situation, because making noise all the time, and civil society, people thought civil society, their role is just to make noise. They're not noisemakers. The role that were mentioned, advocacy, you may advocate for somebody's right when that person doesn't know. And you may not even go online, you may decide to do it silently down there, one-on-one talks, because of some reasons that will be known to the person, or because of the situation and the setting that people are in.
Yeah.
So being silent doesn't mean that someone, it doesn't mean inaction. You may be silent, but you're doing something somewhere in a way, like maybe you're concerned in dialogue, you're very, very occupied with trying to connect, trying to dialogue, advocate, but nobody knows about that.
Yeah.
So Tap, silent, and at some point, some people will choose to be silent because for themselves, because if I, myself, who is the voice of the voiceless, it is at risk, then if that voice is gone, who is going to be the voice?
Yeah.
So at some places, sometimes you need to be silent because the situation may not be favorable for that person, because in emergencies, they will tell you, put your oxygen mask first before you put for the other person. So their protection will be actually at the core at that moment. So we go to Jacob, who said that we have some activists who have taken side. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have seen, even in songs. You know, because people who are artists, they are also part of the, you know, when you sing song for peace, you're already advocating for peace. Mm-hmm. But we have seen there are songs that are even segregating communities. So those people who have gone, because civil society, nobody was nominated to be there. It is a personal choice and it's a passion and you have a cause that you go. Like for myself, I'm an environmental activist and I know there is a gap and I have to go for that. So when somebody takes side, you know, this is for some reason that are known to them, and he's not. Nobody else is answerable to that person because this is a personal choice. When they chose to be there, you know, it is them themselves that chose it. Yeah. And then we will say that there are some circumstances that may force people also to take side because civil society, they are human and they have feelings, you see. So it depends on personal norms and values and what were their motives when mm-hmm. they actually joined the cause.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so at the end of the day, this is a human being and they have a choice. And so as a forum, are there ways that you probably try to ensure this doesn't happen? Do you have talks around this? Because then in order for change to happen, it usually takes a united front. They say, united
collective,
we stand.
Yes.
Is it? I'm trying to remember that stand. United we stand, divided we fall.
We fall, yes.
Exactly. So if that one person comes out, that means it breaks the chain link.
Exactly.
And so how do you try to ensure that unity remains strong?
Well, that one is built, you know, as we build our capacity of civil society organizations, we have conducted a lot of workshops, and these workshops have to be on standing your ground and being neutral at all costs.
Yeah.
You see, you have to be neutral because you are fighting for something, so someone has to be neutral. But also, when such happens, because you're not going to control, these are individuals who are grown up, these are adults, these are people with their cause. Yeah. And then, once one of us or one of them slip off, sometimes it could be that they just slip off unconsciously, because imagine maybe you have a sister who is killed or who is abused, and at that moment, as a human being, if you don't have that self-control, you'll actually lose it.
That's
you
true.
See.
Yeah.
So once such happened, we may not come out clearly to denounce or condemn, but some people may actually go one-on-one and just try to
talk to
you
that
know, to
person.
Talk to that person. That and that one happened a lot. Sometimes you find a friend who wrote a post, you know, which is not really that good, or maybe it can actually contribute to conflict more, or is taking side, and you call them, hey, what you have written on Facebook or on Instagram is not really that good. And some people will listen and they actually remove
it
and take it off from there.
All right.
So these are efforts that are being made. But at the end, you're not going to say, because it depends on what made the person to join. Actually, for me today, what made me to join the civil society organization, if I still have strong values and personal values and principles that made me, and I have a cause, then I will always remain. Just imagine, even as we speak, there's a lot. My own cousins were killed in Ulang, and we had like more than 70. But that one, I never came out and wrote something. Yes, we grieve, we cry in secret, but we still say that the country belongs to everybody, you see. So that one itself, we have to maintain, and we have to see the nation beyond our ethnic groups, beyond our tribes. We are suffering, yes, and as individuals, we are grieving, and the whole country is grieving. But as a civil society personnel or actor who have chosen to go for the cause of the nation, then you have to remain neutral at the most difficult moment that are. This is what I'll tell to my other colleagues in that place. They have to remain neutral and look for solutions for such.
All right, we are concluding the discussion now, and just as we conclude, our guests will be sharing their final remarks, and we can start with Joseph.
Thank you, Cadence and Mariah Pempo, giving us this opportunity to come and discuss these issues of role of civil society and challenges facing the civil society. As my colleagues might say earlier on, the lack of fundings and capacity of civil society have really played a significant role in not civil society doing their best in the community. My final remarks to the people of South Sudan, the peace building is a process, it's a long-term process, it can never be achieved overnight. It is a collective responsibility. I and you have a role to play in building post-conflict reconstructions. What future do we want to see South Sudan to be in the next generations? We need to have a discussion that youth, elder, building our institutions, and to make sure there is rule of law, human rights, and respect. And if it happens, there's a way where we go wrong, we have to revisit our roots and understand South Sudan is a nation that have different, have to embrace the diversity, the values, and make sure, you know, we also encourage our local institution set up to embrace also the right and delivering social services to our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. There was one question that was not answered. Okay, our time. So my message is going to be categorized into three or two categories. The first message will go to our leaders. As we continue for the search of lasting solutions to bring lasting peace in this country, the leaders need to dip down into the root causes of all the conflicts and the issues that we are going through. And they have to be the one to spearhead the search for peace building from them, and from there, when they model and they lead by example, the citizens will follow.
Okay.
To my fellow civil society activists or actors, let us remain neutral and let us uphold all the values that made us to stand up to speak for people and to also help our government. So remain steady, remain neutral. And then to the citizens, to our citizens, we really have to know, even when we are discussing in our tea breaks, tea places, let us have conversations that bring us together but not tear us up.
All right.
So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming and for having this discussion. Definitely we'll hopefully catch up next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We've come to the end of the Democracy in Action today. We have the news coming up next in Arabic.